church is dismissed, and all right. It's one of my favorite times of the year when you see all the life around us coming alive. The flowers we look at here, the lilies and all the various beautiful hyacinths, and love the smell of flowers, don't you? You come in here and just see flowers pinned on different individuals, and it's something about flowers. And it's something about springtime that you're just starting to see everything around us coming back to life. The birds are all coming back and singing. The peepers are out at night. And just something, isn't it? Something, Bill? Life. Everything that was dead, and the trees, now the buds are coming out. And the life, everything is becoming alive. So I love this time of the year. It's almost like Jesus when he was dead and he came back alive out of the ground, out of the grave. You know, I tell you, Easter is all about being alive. Think about it. Alive. On Friday, it was we call it Good Friday. In fact, the church was really full here on Good Friday service. We had a wonderful Good Friday service. But we looked at the significance, really, of the crucifixion and all that transpired at the cross. We looked at his final words that Jesus spoke just before the cross and then on the cross. But in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, we read these words. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last and Jesus died. Fully divine and yet fully man. He was the God-man who was able to die a sacrificial death on Calvary's cross. He was the one who shed blood. The scripture teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There had to be a sacrifice, and the sacrifice had to be perfect. And Jesus was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who was sacrificed before the foundation of this world. That's what Christianity is all about. But if we were to strip the resurrection out of Christianity, we would not have Christianity. The resurrection is powerful and it stands alone in all of the annals of history that Jesus is alive. And he changes lives for us. See, Jesus tasted death for each of us at Calvary's cross. Now, the fact is very interesting to take your study guide and you can follow along out of your bulletin, and there's some fill in the blanks that you can go through and fill these in as we go down through our lesson here this morning. But God's Word, that's the scriptures that we often refer to as the Bible. How do we have that? And God says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the book, the Bible. It's written by about 40 authors over a period of about 1,400 years, but it all just fits together so perfectly. And we have the scriptures, and the scriptures is all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration, it means it's God breathed. In other words, when we read God's book, his word, we get the very heart of God, the very breath of Almighty God. And God's word from the book of Genesis in the very beginning of the Old Testament to the book of Revelation, the very last book of the New Testament, and everywhere in between speaks of two deaths. Two deaths. Each of us are here this morning and we are experiencing a physical life right now. A physical life. We can be physically, as a person, our physical life, we can either be physically dead or we can be physically alive. We all know that. Death is a real thing. And in fact, the chance of you and me meeting death someday is 100%. There's no one that ever cheated death except one, Jesus. So we all are there, and I believe every one of us in this auditorium this morning is alive. I don't think any one of us is physically in a dead state right now. We might be mentally sort of dead state, but physically we're all alive. So in the physical realm, we can either be dead or alive in the physical realm. But the physical realm is the temporary things, the things that's not an eternal aspect, and so it's temporary. It's the things that we can handle and see. Like this lily up here. This is a lily that we can handle. We're in the physical. But yet God also speaks in a spiritual sense. many passages throughout the whole entire scripture, the Word of God, we see God speaking of spiritually, we can also be dead or alive. Just as in the physical sense, we can be dead or alive, in the spiritual sense, the same thing. And hence, that is the reason why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus is alive. He came alive. And as we look at this and ponder this, I think it's very important for us to, and instructive for us to, sort of catch the truth that God is trying to teach us. See, we can either be spiritually dead, or we can be spiritually alive. What are you this morning? Everyone in this place right now is one or the other. It does not matter your status in life. It does not matter your age. But everyone in this place is either spiritually dead or you are spiritually alive. We all are physically alive, but we all are facing that ultimate journey of stepping into eternity where the spiritual aspect of either being dead or alive is going to play enormous, major importance role in where we spend eternity. It's a real deal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, God tells us this, for what is seen is temporary, which is the physical. But then God says, what is unseen is eternal. What we don't see is the eternal aspect of things, and yet we are so caught up and so enthronged in the temporal world or the physical realm of the world, and often we neglect the spiritual realm. Even though when God created us in His very image. In the image of God, He created man, you and I. And a part of that creation, the creative act of Almighty God, was that He created us with a spirit. And that gives man and man alone, horses don't have it, monkeys don't have it, but man and man alone, the crown of God's creation, has a spirit. And when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, he is an eternal creature. We're going to live forever. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everyone in this room, we all are created in the image of God. And we all will live forever. And that's a spiritual aspect, the unseen world, the unseen realm. And are we spiritually dead or are we spiritually alive? It's a heavy question. It's an important question. And in fact, as we look at the resurrection, it just screams out for the answer to this question. What is the significance of the resurrection? What is the big deal about this thing about Jesus rising back alive for me today? How can I sort of plug it into my life and make application to help me to live my life here on this earth and to help me to know for sure that when I die and step into eternity, then I'll be ready to meet my Maker. See, these are deep questions. We can either be spiritually dead or spiritually alive. See, we're limited as mere mortals in the physical right now. But we must see beyond into the spiritual. God gives us a very interesting verse that's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, and it says, He has also set eternity in the hearts of man. God is telling us to look beyond the physical temporal time to the eternal spiritual time. And it's so important to understand that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And I believe what the scripture is teaching us, and I believe in talking to many people over the years, that deep within each of us there is a yearning, or a hunger, or just some kind of a knowledge, or just some kind of a something deep down in our spirit that we just know that we know that we know that there's a God. God has set eternity in our hearts. And we also know that when we step off into eternity, that there's a judgment out there. That we're going to be facing a creator of this universe, and we're going to have to give an account. And so eternity, and as we look at spiritual death and spiritual life, it's a reality. Jesus is alive. What does it mean for me? Big deal, is it? You better believe it is. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we read about it in Matthew. It's found in all four gospel accounts, but in Matthew 28, in verse 1, it says, after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. Here's an angelic being, God's angelic in a spiritual sense, that we can't see him, but now he can, oftentimes in Scripture, we see him manifest himself. They can appear and disappear. And so this angelic being came back and he rolled the stone away. Well, they believe, most theologians believe, that stone weighed about 3,000 pounds, a ton and a half. It was a big, heavy rock. It wasn't for a couple of ladies to go up there and roll the stone away. The stone also, we're told in another passage of Scripture, was sealed. A special wax was put on there with a string. And so it was sealed up because the Pharisees, the ones that were very religious Jews, they hated Jesus. But yet Jesus said, I'm going to be buried, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again from the dead. And so they knew what he was saying. And so they did all they could to seal that tomb. They even took guards and placed guards there. So we see God now sending an angel down to roll that rock, that big old stone away. And then we see the description of him, verse 3. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. See, can you imagine if we could have our eyes, our physical eyes, just sort of pull away, that we could see the invisible spiritual world around us? I think if we could see that, we would shudder. Because it's a reality that we see, in fact, we see glimpses of it throughout the Word of God. The guards that were guarding the tomb, they were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. They just melted in a puddle of ooze. They shook. They just trembled. He was so frightening and so powerful. Just an angel of God. That's all he was. It wasn't God. And they just shook and they fainted away, a dead man. The angel then said to the woman, or to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell the disciples and tell them this, that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, and they clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The resurrection of Jesus was not just some kind of a fairy tale. In fact, the Scripture declares that over 500 individuals witnessed him and talked to him, ate with him. Over 500. You take the historical evidence of Jesus. There's historians. Josephus was one that wrote about his life. Wrote about him. And so you can read so much about him. In fact, there's been many, many lawyers trying to get their, doing their thesis, trying to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. And over and over and over again, these sharp attorneys came to the conclusion that he is exactly who he said he was. They could not disprove the resurrection. So much evidence. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But let the words reverberate in our hearts this morning that he has risen from the dead. He was dead. He was beat and crucified and buried. And 3 days later, he arose from the grave to be alive forevermore. It is a big deal. See the empty tomb? What's the significance of the resurrection? Highly significant. The resurrection, what does it mean to me? Basically, it validates the claims of Christ. In Acts 2, verse 22, it says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you've seen, as you know yourselves. We see throughout the Old Testament scriptures, we see the predictions, hundreds of them, that this person is going to burst forth upon the scene of planet Earth. And this person is going to be the Messiah. He is going to be the King of the Jews. Over and over, we see the prediction. We celebrate Easter together right now today. But Christmas time, we celebrate Christmas, don't we? And when we get together, we celebrate Christmas. That's the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And He came into this world in the most unusual way. He didn't come as a great big fiery chariot out of heaven and come down. He came as a baby born to a virgin girl and born in Bethlehem in a stable. In a stable where they raise these sacrificial sheep 6 miles from Jerusalem. But He came into that stable and, wow, in the most unusual way. Angelic host even there came down and saw the shepherds, the most despicable people of the society. And God says, I'm going to reveal, I'm going to give you the birth announcement. And so they came to the shepherds and they got all excited and went in. They found the Lord Jesus. Remember the stories of the wise men? I mean, just so significant. And we see Jesus started His ministry on this earth and the age of 30. When He started at the age of 30, he ministered publicly for about 3.5 years. But what did He do? He defied nature by stilling the storms. Peace be still. Instantly the storm settled. He defied nature and the laws of gravity by walking on water. Who here can do that? Over and over, He fed the multitudes with a little boy's lunch. But even more than all that, in the Old Testament, it prophesies that the Messiah is going to do messianic miracles. He's going to do miracles that is absolutely going to validate His claim that He is God in the flesh, that He is Israel's Messiah. Sure, He took the blind and He healed them. He took the lame that couldn't walk and He healed them. He took the leper, which was so incurable, dreaded disease, and He healed him. He preached the gospel message over and over. But do you know what the Lord Jesus, do you know what else He did? He resurrected people back from the dead. He took a dead person. And how dead is dead? Pretty dead. He took a dead person. Even Lazarus, who stinks yet in the grave, and He resurrected Lazarus back from the grave. Jairus' daughter, others. So what does the resurrection do? The resurrection validates the claims of Christ. See, that's what God is saying. He says He was accredited by God to you. He worked these miracles. He worked these signs. And the resurrection is sort of like the huge exclamation mark on that He is alive. He's real. Jesus is not a figment of our imagination. He is not some crutch that we crutch around on. Jesus Christ is real. And He changes lives because He changed mine about 35 years ago. See, the resurrection validates the claims of Christ. Consider His birth and His miracles and His resurrection. Secondly, the resurrection proves that God accepted the sacrifice of His Son. It proves that God was satisfied, that Jesus' death satisfied God's requirement for sin. And God accepted the sacrifice. Powerful to understand this, and it's hard sometimes for us as humans 2,000 years hence to try to comprehend it all together. But understand that God accepted the sacrifice that His Son made at Calvary's cross for sin. And I think about the time when Jesus was beaten and bruised and all that He went through. Jesus, why did You do that? Why did You come to this earth you were born to die? You came to this earth just to go to a bloody cross and die and shed Your blood? Is that all the only reason? In Luke chapter 19, we read that Jesus said, out of His words, He says, I came to seek and to save the lost. That was His mission. You find that mission of God Almighty trying to seek and to save the lost. You find it from Genesis through the book of Revelation. Over and 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 over. It's God's redemptive plan to try to redeem the fallen man back to Himself. See, because if you stop and think about our lives, why do I do things wrong? why do I get this little evil thought up here that's not very good? Why do some of my actions are very questionable? Why am I living in sin of this or that or that or this and allowing this to... Why is there so much evil in this world? Why is there terror and bombing? Why is our jail so full of people that so... Society is just falling apart, so to speak. So we have all these questions. Why is it? God knows why, and the reason why is because man is born a sinner. We are lost before Him. Jesus knew that. God knew that. And the only way of redeeming fallen man was to become a man. So God became flesh. And He came into this world as the perfect, sinless God-man. That's why Jesus did those things He did and walk on water. That's why He healed the people and raised the dead. Because He is who He said He was. God in the flesh. Well, on our Good Friday service, we looked at the crucifixion of Christ. And there was one point in time, because Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. Beautiful time in the morning. I love that time in the morning. And but at high noon, 12 o'clock, when it should have been the brightest, the sun went black. The sun went black, and Jesus was hanging on the cross, and the sun stayed black for 3 hours. The sun refused to shine. But in the midst of those 3 hours, something special came out of the words of Jesus from the cross, and these were the words that He said. He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? See, this was a point in time like none others. This was a point in time. Every time you read about Jesus speaking about His Father up in heaven, He would call Him Father. But this is the only time ever recorded in the Word of God that He refers to His Father in heaven as God. There was a point in time that Jesus became our sin bearer. This is the plan of redemption. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so His Son came into this world to be the sin bearer. He bore our sin. And so when Jesus was on that cross hanging, the holy God, the powerful, almighty God, God is so holy, infinite in holiness, that He could not even look upon His Son. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? God could not look upon His Son because at that point in time, His Son was bearing the sin of the world. And now you want to go into the little more personal look. He was bearing Dave Martin's sin. Every little thought I've ever had, the words I ever uttered, the deeds I ever committed, all the wickedness in my life was laid upon Jesus that time. See, and not only all of our sin was there, but my sin in particular was there. And Jesus was my sin bearer. Now you read these verses, and these verses sort of make sense to us because it says in 2 Corinthians, it says, God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. What? That we, in Him, might become the righteousness of God. That's why we do church. That's why we talk about this thing called Christianity, which is beyond any other religion. You don't talk religion with me because there's over 5,000 mainline religions today in this world. And they all scream out, I'm the way. No. So many of those religions don't include Jesus. But Jesus said, I'm the way. So we need to understand that Jesus is the one that satisfied the sin debt of the world. But it comes down to a personal application for you and me. Yeah, you can believe all that. It's good to have that up in your mind, but have you appropriated that for you, for yourself personally? Have you trusted Jesus yourself? Remember, we can have eternal life, or we can have eternal death. Just like we have physical life, just like there's physical death. And same thing in a spiritual sense. 1 John 2:2 says, He is Jesus, is our atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for the sins of ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. High noon. But thank God, something major happened. There was a sacrifice made. There was Christ paid the penalty. but something major happened. And what happened was this, in 1 Corinthians 6:14, by His power, God Almighty, He raised the Lord from the dead. But then it gets a little footnote, and He's going to raise us also. We're going to be resurrected someday. But God resurrected Jesus. And what does that mean? That God, it proves that God accepted the sacrifice of His Son, and God was pleased. And in fact, the very first words that Jesus spoke on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then partway through, "Oh, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Jesus was being a sin bearer. The end cross, we just read it. "My Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit." He's back with the relationship with His God again. Isn't that cool? See, and once we understand this, this is what Easter's all about. I read about a Muslim in Africa who became a Christian, and some of his friends came to him and they were upset and they asked him, "Why have you done such a thing?" And he answered it this way, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which road to take. And there at the fork in the road were two men. One was dead, but one was alive. Which one would you ask to show you the way?" You'd ask the one that's alive. And who is alive? Jesus Christ. What did He say? He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl could come to the Father except through Me." See, Jesus is not a way among many ways of religion today. The way is a person, and the way is Jesus. And in order to make it to heaven, and in order to be spiritually alive, we've got to have Jesus. It all hinges on Him. See, we must always consider God's love, God's sacrifice for you. Well, it's fine as we start to understand this and we start to look at this. But what does the resurrection mean to me? Dave, how can I get some, grapple this truth, and how can I sort of bring this all together in my life that I can really, I believe in resurrection. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He was virgin birth. I believe all these things. I'll tell you what, it's very interesting because over in James it says the devil believes these things too. The devil and trembles. See, we can have a belief of a head knowledge all about Him, and we know all kinds of good stuff about Him. But until He gets down in our heart, that's when we get changed. That's when we are transferred from eternal death to eternal life. That's when everything changes in our life. See, very important. See, God sets an eternity in our hearts. And I really believe that deep in our hearts that we know that there is something beyond the grave. There is something beyond this mere life, the physical life that we live. Man, I guess, you know, we got to prepare. We got to make sure that we're ready. And see, the resurrection is what has brought it all together, brought it all in focus for us. We go through life often feeling empty, total empty. And I liken it lots of times to a God-sized hole in our hearts, that we just have a big hole down here. And we can try to fill it with all kinds of things and all the extras around in life, all the possessions we have or drugs, anything, you name it. Trying to find that happiness, and guess what? We still are empty. That might describe you this morning, that you just are empty. You know you need God in your life, but you just don't seem to quite make the connection. It's hard. See, never seemed to find the answer to life's deepest need of a relationship with God. God created you with a spirit. We're spiritual beings, and that spiritual beings meaning that we have a capacity to know God. We have a capacity to praise Him or worship Him, a capacity to talk to Him. That's our spiritual side. And see, when we get saved, we get spiritually reborn into God's family. And that's when everything changes in our life. And so spiritually, we got to be changed. We've got to get our sins under the blood of Christ. And God loves you. God loves me right where we are. No matter who you are, as you young guys or older folks, God loves you. Yeah, you've blown it. Everyone has. Who hasn't? In our lives, so many times have been, if you look at the summation of our lives today, it might be a big old zero for God. You lived your life the way you wanted to live. It's all about you. It's all about your life. It's all about your ideas and your concept of whatever eternity is. There's coming a day when your life will be over. We've got to get it right, because there's no second chance. See, this is all about the resurrection. This is all about spiritual, being spiritually alive in Christ. Thirdly, because this is powerful, because the resurrection empowers life change for us who believe. I love John 15:25. I'm not going to dwell on it a lot, but Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is at the meeting of Lazarus, when Jesus was calling Lazarus forth from the grave. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live." That word "live" is spiritually. He who believes in me will live in a spiritual realm. Even though he dies physically. That's the physical realm. And whoever lives physically, with all of us here, whoever lives physically and believes in me will never die spiritually. You get that? It's a mouthful. But I think as you start to look at the physical and the spiritual aspects of some of these verses, you'll start to understand what God is up to. What God is trying to do. He's trying to save your soul. He's trying to give you eternal life. He's trying to forgive your sins. And yet we just don't comprehend it all. Yeah, I believe Jesus died for the sins of the world, and we sort of go there without ever turning from him and changing our life and believing in Jesus. He is the one that changes our lives. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old have gone and the new has come. He gives us a brand new life. See, because it is impossible for you or me, any of us, to live the Christian life. We're going to fail every time. Why do we keep doing bad things? Because you are living your life. You've got to allow the power of Christ, the risen Savior, to live his life through you. Now all of a sudden your mind is going to be caught captive and to the glory of God. And your hearts will be going in the right direction. And he changes our life. See, he gives us the empowerment for life change. And empowerment, really, to believe. And we feel so many times trapped and in fear and doubt and dismay. It's scary to live a life apart from Christ. This Easter might be a turning point for some of you folks here this morning. I don't know. I can't save anybody. There's no man on this earth can. But I know somebody who can, and that's Jesus Christ. He works in lives, and he works in a supernatural way that he speaks to our spirit from deep within, because this is spiritual. God is spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So, man, we can connect with God and we can know him in that spiritual sense, but we can be spiritually dead where we don't know him, have no relationship with him, or we could be spiritually alive. Is this making sense to you guys this morning? Trying to go slow and to explain all this. But consider your life. See, Ephesians 1 tells us this. His incomparably great power for us who believe. God has given us power to live. He gives us power to live that Christian life. And that power is like the working of his mighty strength when he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. See, God's power that raised Christ is our power for living today. Amen? It's awesome. Do you feel powerless? You feel weary and tired, want to throw in the towel, start living your life through Christ. He's going to give you the power. Number four is the resurrection. Not only does it confirm Christ and God accepted the sacrifice, but it empowers us for believers, but also the resurrection assures eternal life to those who have crossed over. You say, crossed over? Now, what are we talking about here? Is this some kind of a... Nah, look what God says. Very interesting verse in chapter 5 of John, verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word, and that's what we're doing, we're teaching God's word, faith, our faith in our life, our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word, Romans 10, 17. And so, our faith starts to happen and form, and how? By as we hear the truth of God's word. As we hear the truth of God's word, God the Holy Spirit empowers his word, and he produces that little faith of a mustard seed within us. And then our faith starts to grow. But see, a lot of us have been on the fence for a long time. Yeah, I loosely use the word Christian, but I still feel empty and lost. Not right. The spirit is not connected with God. There's a disconnect, so we're spiritually dead. But God says that we, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, has, that's a given, a promise, has this thing called eternal life and will not be condemned. That's a heavy word. I don't want to be condemned by God because God is the maker and the judge. He sees my thoughts, my actions, my deeds, everything about my life. Who else? You know, and his judgment is perfect. I don't want to be condemned. But then he says, if you really believe with your heart that he has, look at those words, crossed over from spiritual death to spiritual life. You're getting this now. It's a crossing over. Have you crossed over into this thing called eternal life? Not into eternal death. Everyone born up on this earth is going that direction. Why? Because we're all sinners. Even though Jesus paid the penalty for their sin, it's individually coming before the throne, coming before the Lord and saying, God, forgive me. I am sorry for my sin. I put you there. Come into my life by faith. God's grace is sufficient. So by faith, we cross over into this unseen spiritual realm, and we are sometimes the phrase, Jesus uses it in John 3, about being born again. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not a Baptist phrase, it's a Jesus phrase. And it's talking about that crossing over, that stepping over from eternal death over to eternal life, and appropriating the blood that was shed for you personally at the cross of Calvary. I remember when I was saved some 35, 36 years ago, I came to the point that I could see my sin. And it haunted me. It was real. And I was weighted by it. It hung me down. Until I gave my heart to Jesus and I stepped over that line, I was a different man. Whew, I was free. Christ set me free. I believe. That's the whole crutch of the thing. It's not join this church and you go to heaven. It's not to be baptized, you go to heaven. Not to be confirmed and you go to heaven. Not to do this and that and that and go to heaven. No, it's through Jesus. Do you believe? See, the devil is really good at complicating matters, and he will try to complicate it to make it all different things that we really don't believe, and we get all confused. We sort of throw our hands up and walk away and say, oh boy, I don't know about church anymore. Do we believe? See, God's given us power and we're justified in Titus 3:7 by his grace. And that word justified is a big word that basically means we are declared righteous. Why? Because I ask God to forgive me. I turn from my old ways. And I believe that Jesus died for me. Basically, I put my trust in him. I put my hope in him. I put my faith in him. Jesus is the one. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. See, when we deal with the physical, we're okay. We can handle the physical, but we can't handle the spiritual. We
You need Jesus. See, salvation by human works has not happened, and if it could, the Lord would not have to come to this earth. But we must consider a future. Are you going to live eternally with Him? And then the resurrection always requires a decision. It says, as you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. By grace have you been saved. God's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. And God wants to save us. He's done everything humanly and spiritually possible. God Almighty, the creator of it all, He put it all together. This plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, by sending His Son into this world, His resurrection proves everything that He did, that we're talking about, happened. The lives have been touched and changed. But it does require a decision on your part. Let me just say that if we don't decide, we do decide. We do make a decision, even if we can say reject God. See, we can accept this truth or we can reject it. And just not making a decision is saying, Lord, I'm not sure about what's going on here. As we walk out and never be changed. See, God sent His Son into this world to be crucified. And He rose again. He's alive. And He offers this life to each of us this morning. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. Are you spiritually alive this morning? Deep question. It's a question that will reverberate through eternity. Are you ready to meet your Maker? I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. I can't answer it for my wife. Individually, you will know that you will know that you are right with God. You have that connection made in a spiritual realm with Him. Let's bow our hearts, bow our heads in prayer. You're here this morning, you aren't sure about your salvation. You might say, I want to be spiritually alive. I want to be ready when I die. If you aren't sure this morning, if you want to be sure, would you lift your hand across this room? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be spiritually alive. I see your hand. God is speaking. I see your hand, ma'am. I see your hand, ma'am. Sir, I see your hand. I want to be spiritually alive. You're hearing this message maybe for the first time than you've ever heard it before. Ma'am, I see your hand. Thank you. Maybe put it down. Anyone else? I see your hand, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. And who else? For the first time, you start to understand. I see your hand, ma'am. I see your hand. God is able. God is working. Anyone else? I see your hand, ma'am. I see your hand, sir. I see it. Anyone else? God is all over this place. Just say yes to Him. Allow God to work in your life. One more time. Anyone else? I see your hand, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? This is the real deal. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have a terrible problem, all of humanity. It's called sin. The main culprit is the center letter. It's I. God help us. Anyone else across this room? For those that lifted their hand, let me just take you through. It's called a sinner's prayer. It's a prayer of faith that you trust the Lord Jesus to come into your life. Would you pray this prayer? And if you are sitting here, but you were unable to lift your hand and say, man, pray for me, I want you to pray this prayer too. Get it settled before it's eternally too late. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Pray it from your heart. I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I now invite you to come into my life as my Lord, as my Savior. Take control of my life. Forgive my sins. Make me your child. I ask for a new and a living hope that you promise now and for all of eternity. Make me the person that you created me to be. Renew me as I begin my new life in you. And Father, we thank you for the many individuals, Lord, individually that came to the cross today. God, I love you. You love us. You spoke to us to this day. Minister by your Spirit in each of their hearts. I pray that you will confirm their salvation in their lives. I pray that you will give them confidence and hope. Lord, that this will be a day of Resurrection Sunday like never before in their lives. God, that you will do a mighty work. Pray for the spiritual protection for them, each one. God, I pray that you will help them to grow, to love you, to become faithful as your children. Father, thank you for your Spirit even moving among us in your presence here this day. And Father, for all of us in this place that knows Jesus, that knows that we are alive in him, we thank you for the resurrection and the power that it means to us. Help us not to be in despair, but in rejoicing and crying out, hallelujah. For all that you have done for us, we thank you and worship you and praise you. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.